It's the book.
It's the one book to rule them all. And here is a clue. Three
As
rings.
If that wasn't a clue.
For the Elven Kings, under the sky, 7 for the Dwarf Lords in their halls of stone, 7 for mortal, 9 for mortal men doomed to die.
Yeah, don't miscount.
1 for the Dark Lord in his dark throne in the land of Mordor where the shadows lie. 1 ring to rule them all, 1 ring to find them, 1 ring to bring them all, and in the darkness bind them in the land of Mordor where the shadows lie. Papa! I wonder what we're talking about.
Harry Potter?
Oh. It was Harry Potter. I mean, come on. All those rings floating around Harry Potter and Hogwarts.
I fail.
That would be kind of a good mashup, though.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, eagles, broomsticks. It works.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff on Instagram about Dumbledore versus Gandalf. I don't even know how that's a thing.
I think Gandalf would kick hard butt.
Me too.
He would kick butt so hard.
Yeah.
Also, I'm very biased.
So am I.
Very biased.
I mean, we both like Harry Potter, but there is only one Lord of
trilogy
the
to rule them all.
And he does not share power.
No. He's like, gimme. If you haven't picked up what we've been throwing down, this is a very, very special episode. All themed around a very strange obsession that both of us have.
And why we became the bestest of friends.
This is what solidified us. Kind of as, you know, not just merely co-workers.
But a dynamic duo.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, I remember the moment when we were in the bookstore and I walked up to you and I don't know who was holding a Lord of the Rings thing, but I was like, oh, well, Lord of the Rings is my favorite book of all time. And you were like,
I probably screamed.
Your exact words were, are you just like the girl, white straight version of me?
Oh.
And then we were friends forever. The end. I loved it.
Part of me thinks that, like, why would I ever say that to somebody? But at the same time, I'm like, that's fair. I would say that.
It was awesome. I was like, this is the friendship of all time, right here. So yes, Brad, I am.
I'm sweating now.
White girl, straight version of you.
Sweating now. It's I'm just so tickled by that. Oh, I absolutely believe that I would say that. I'm glad that you stuck around. Because then I would have just like thrown somebody else away from me and be like, oh, well, I nerded out again and just, they just ran away.
I don't know that person.
I'm like, I don't know who you're talking about. Oh.
No. You can never turn away from fellow.
Ooh, I need a fan.
What are the ringsy?
I chuckled too hard that I'm sweating now. This is a problem for me. It's like
just all the excitement.
The fires of Mount Doom just kind of overtook me, and now I'm just sweating. I literally feel like Frodo and Sam at the end of.
That's a very sweaty scene.
Yeah, that's even me right now. I giggled so hard, I'm sweating. And it's like what 40 degrees outside. I shouldn't be sweating.
It is rather chilly outside, isn't it?
Yeah, but oh, okay. I can breathe again. We just had some tea.
We did.
That's good.
In our hobbit hole.
In a little hobbit hole.
Tea and second breakfast, under the hill. Kinda.
Under the hill. Yes. We are talking about the Middle Earth books, mostly Lord of the Rings.
Mostly Lord of the Rings, but we have
others
read
will trickle
the others.
In because, I mean, come on, they have to. It will happen. It's a thing.
And if anybody on this entire planet doesn't know, it's Lord of the Rings by the amazing J.R.R. Tolkien.
Exactly.
Jonathan Ronald Roald Tolkien.
Yep.
Yep.
J.R.R. Tolkien. I put too many T's. Oh, gosh. I'm going to get fired.
The dude that defined the genre.
Love it.
Me too.
Well, podcast done. No, I'm just kidding.
We can go home now.
I'm kidding. We're done. That was it. It's just us saying how much we love it and how we cemented a friendship from our obsession. It's fine.
But you know, there are people in this world who don't love Tolkien as much as we do. Isn't that shocking?
I get it because he's really wordy, and I think some people don't like that. It's probably the same reason why some people don't like the old horror movies, because they're really slow burns. I get it. I don't agree with it. But I get it. But yeah, he can be wordy, but it's,
I guess he is.
It's good though. It's
beautiful wordiness.
Yeah. But I appreciate it.
I feel like Dune is pretty wordy too. Right?
Right. And so. you told me a little nugget about there is a connection between Dune and Tolkien.
There is.
That you dropped that little nugget earlier.
I did. And you know, it's funny because it's actually been on a lot of social media recently. It's like so many times when we have two camps setting up, like the Dune fans and the Tolkien fans. And we have like the Harry Potter fans and the Lord of the Rings fans and Game of Thrones.
It's always us against the world.
Apparently it is. There always has to be an us and a them. And we hate them all. And I'm like, well, we can't like the same things, people. It is possible. You know, but Tolkien was not a fan of Dune.
I'm going to divulge this right now. I haven't read it yet. Because some people have to read it for school. I didn't.
That's quite a read for school.
Well, whoa. Like every summer, you know, we get all the school reads and Dune is always in it.
That's true. It is.
So,
isn't it?
Yeah. And I know with the new film out that it has just been like, we can't keep it in stock. It has just been selling like crazy. So props to folks who can read that brick of a book.
And for school as well.
For school. Yeah. Sorry. I meant to say for school, but like in general, reading a brick of a book is fine. You know, if you're doing it for funsies. But if you've got to read something like that for school, good on you. Cause
we want to be your friend.
Oof.
That's a commitment. Yeah.
If my teacher was like, hey, we're reading like this book that's 1,000 pages. Like, so this is taking the entire year? Is that what we're doing? Is that a thing? I feel like I had some hit or miss teachers regarding like literature and just basic English classes where you have to read, you know, certain things or whatever. I will say I had two teachers in high school that were like, you know, English teachers, but they just kind of gave me that love of reading. And then there was one in college, and I took multiple classes from him because he offered different styles of classes. And I really liked that. Like, I really liked his kind of obsession with writing and reading and all that kind of stuff. So like those kind of three teachers are probably that and my mom. Cause my mom's a big reader.
Important.
Yeah. My mom's a big reader. She would never read Tolkien
or Dune.
No, she's not big into sci-fi, but, she always has books, you know, and I kind of pilfered through some of her stuff. That's, you know, cause that's how I found John Saul. And that's also where I found what I had to adjust my phrasing on regarding James Patterson's When the Wind Blows / Maximum Ride debacle that I did. That was fun. I feel like my tapping on the table is gonna sound weird. there's a small handful of folks that are probably the reason why I got into reading, because I read Goosebumps as a kid. I kind of just stopped reading after that, and then it wasn't until like late high school and then into college that I kind of took off. And like the first movie came out in 2000, so I was in high school. And the movie, I mean, is the very first Lord of the Rings. So I got the trilogy in one book, like that big honking brick of a book.
I remember that
book. Which is sitting right behind me. we have the same copy, except I have a different cover. Well, I don't have a cover anymore because it ripped and fell apart because I read it too many times.
I read it and loved it.
I mean, that's what happens when you get a really good book. But my grandparents got it for me. And I just, it was a Christmas present, but they gave it to me early because the movies were coming out before Christmas. And I just destroyed it. Like, I was like, oh, I can't stop reading this book. In high school, no less. I'm sitting there, like, anytime that we have quiet time, like, or if I finish something early, or I would finish early on purpose so that I could pull that big brick out of my backpack and just start reading again.
And a nerd was born.
A nerd was born this day. Yeah, essentially. That was my introduction to Lord of the Rings, was my grandparents buying me the book and, you know, the movies coming out. So that's where it started. Where did it start for you?
Very similar.
Similar?
Actually.
Really?
Yeah. I think it was the year before the movies released, the first one. And my brother had a copy that he borrowed from his friend, who was a huge reader. I was a reader too, but up until then, I hadn't really done a lot of sci-fi fantasy. I remember talking about finding all the classics at the flea market and stuff. And so I read Lord of the Rings. And at that point, it was funny because all the trailers were starting to release for the movie, and it was super exciting. And I read it, and it just changed my world. Like, I fell in love with the genre. I fell in love with Lord of the Rings. I fell in love with Tolkien.
So you dipped your toe and fell in.
I totally fell in.
Fair.
Hook, line, and sinker. And I've said this to a few people, and I think they probably think I'm a little nutty. But at the time that I was in my teenage years in Zimbabwe, the country had begun to fall apart. We had the start of an economic collapse, and the farms were being seized by the government, and everything just kind of went haywire. And I honestly believe in some ways that Lord of the Rings saved my life, because it was this beautiful thing where in all the craziness and everybody started leaving, we had this mass exodus of people. You know, if they could leave Zimbabwe at that point, you did leave Zimbabwe, basically.
Oh, wow.
So during the time where I read Lord of the Rings, and then each year after that, it was hope. Like, the movie would come out. Like, mm-hmm. you could rely on, you know, The Two Towers is going to come out and The Return of the King. Mm-hmm. And, it just gave me something to hold onto. And so, yeah. Not really lying when I say I think Tolkien saved my life.
Wow, that's
just throw it out there.
I mean, that's a better story than mine. I'm not gonna lie.
No, like, I mean it was a little bit more dramatic because I was living in Zimbabwe, but kind of the same thing, you know. It's this book that kind of just changed everything.
Right. Well, we did talk last time about like certain things hitting you at the right time.
Exactly. So.
This one hit you like a big brick of a book.
Oh man, let me tell you. And then I went super nerdy and decided I was going to learn Elvish and all of that stuff.
Nice.
I think if I tried to
speak
it,
I was like, do you still speak it? No, because I was like, can you read that whole thing in Elvish like right now?
Correctly. I don't even think it was legit where I was like these random websites I was learning it from. Like, cool, I know I could have been speaking. You
could have been saying, you know, the fire inside of the bathtub is really a rubber duck. Like,
exactly. I probably like was
something
saying that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
I mean, but you know, talking about language, and that's one of the things about Lord of the Rings and that whole world that makes it so legit, is there's a lot of scholarship about the fact that Tolkien wanted to create languages, and then to do that, he had to create this world.
Right.
And
because there was the Hobbit, which, you know, was, you know, like, not necessarily simplified, but it is like, you know, if you read The Hobbit and then you read Lord of the Rings, of course, like, there's a lot more left out. Like, in regards to like world building and backgrounds and this and that. And, but that's also probably, you know, between like him wanting to take the world of Middle Earth and then like just going ham, like, I'm going to create the languages. I'm going to create the people. I'm going to create the world. I'm going to create every single little detail for this thing. You know, The Hobbit came out, and I guess everybody was like, we need more. We want more. So he just took forever and was like, I'm working on it. And boy, did he work on it.
He did.
I mean, and finally it came out. And it was just this massive book. And they were like, we can't just drop this as one single book. And that's how they were divided, is to make it easier for people. Yeah, easier for the reader. So they divided it into threes, which then gave us a trilogy. Well, I guess a quadrology of books, and then later there was the Silmarillion, which has yet even more
it
of
is
the
a
world
dance.
And the people, and yeah, that one's like, you know, you read The Hobbit, it's like, oh, cute, and then you read Lord of the Rings and you're like, oh, you like this, and then you read the Silmarillion, it's like, oh, you're obsessed, aren't you?
Yeah, if you're
like,
if you're,
there's levels.
There are definitely Tolkien levels of nerdiness. It's
yeah,
like the people who just watch the movies, the people who do the whole books and movies, and then there's the people who read the Silmarillion and Tales of Middle Earth and the Unfinished Tales,
yep,
and the Children of Harun, and
yep, so all of, and then they go and they read all of the appendices,
oh, yes,
that are in there.
Those appendices.
Yep. I mean, we wouldn't have really gotten all of that Aragorn and Arwen lovey-dovey stuff if we hadn't read the appendices.
That's true. That's where Peter Jackson, yeah, pulled it from.
Exactly.
I mean, at least that existed versus
the
odd love story in the Hobbit movies, you know? So.
I know some. I know that's. I know. I. Not with me. Like, I'm that person. Like, if I read a book and then there is an adaptation of it, I separate them. I read The Hobbit and I'm like, I love this book. I watch The Hobbit movies and I'm like, these movies are fun. I like the movies. I will watch them over and over and over again.
And they will have Orlando Bloom in them, so.
But she's not even in the book. But
he's not.
Again.
I mean,
again, you just,
he,
you
he
separate
was in the world to the side somewhere doing
true
his thing. But
again,
yeah,
and they also had to create more 3-hour movies out of the tiniest book out of all of them.
It's true.
But sweeping epic. What's more fantasy than a big sweeping epic?
Nothing.
All right.
It's pretty much, you know, when we think of fantasy, we
it's
think
always
of,
sweeping epic.
It's a sweeping epic. So.
But yeah, like the whole like, Tauriel isn't even in the book, and it's like, well, yeah, she's in the movie, but you know, she plays a role. I liked her. I like Evangeline.
No, you
Lilia.
Need the badass girl in the movies, I guess.
Right.
I mean, what's wrong with that?
Isn't she kind of a jumble of like some of the secondary characters, but instead of introducing all of these characters, he's just like, She-Elf.
And the role of She-Elf will be played by.
Yeah. But yeah.
You know, I don't know how I feel about it. I watch them and I like the Hobbit movies and I rewatch them. Mm-hmm. In some ways, I probably have rewatched them a little bit more than Lord of the Rings, because I put them on in the background when I do stuff.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings, I'm a little more intense about sitting down and watching that. But
fair.
I don't know if they needed to be a love story in The Hobbit. I think they could have done it with the traditional, you know, bros going on the adventure, and it still would have been fun. But I get why they added
yeah
that in. So
it's, yeah, I mean, there were so many nods to the Lord of the Rings film franchise.
Yes.
And I don't want to use the word cash grab, but I feel like cash grab is appropriate. It sounds cheap, but it worked for me because I went to every single premiere of
yeah
like all of the movies. I went to every single premiere. I remember the premiere of the first Hobbit. It was like my best friend from childhood. Like, it was his birthday present for me. Like, I was just like, hey, this comes out on your birthday, so we're going, I'm taking you to the premiere with me. They were doing like little quizzes and stuff before the movie, and he won a little pin of Bilbo's door.
Aww.
And then the prizes just got bigger and better the more you knew, but like he just happened to catch that one and win that little pin. And then when the second one came out, he wasn't able to come with me, but since they were done in 3D, they had, if you got 3D movie tickets, then you got a pair of Hobbit glasses, and it had the sword as the,
oh, that's cool,
the little like ear arm part.
Sting?
Thorin's.
Okay.
Yeah. And what is that part called? I don't know what that's called. Like the part that of glasses that sits on your ear. Whatever that's called. That was a sword.
So technical.
I don't wear glasses, so I don't know.
Trying to speak Elvish, we don't know what the thing is for the thing.
The thing for the thing, and you know, it does this and that. But I digress. Anyway, that got pitchy again. It seems to be a thing. Yeah. So I did not have 3D tickets, but I walked in the door and they're like, "Here's your glasses," and I was like, "Cool." So. I ended up giving them to him again because like they kept to with a schedule. It always came out around the same time year after year. So I was just like, here you go. But I didn't get anything for the third one. So I couldn't round out the birthday gifting Hobbit, you know, theme that I was going for his birthdays.
Etsy.
Yeah, I mean, true. I could do that. I did that with your little...
Which I loved, yes. By the way.
It's sitting right over there.
It is. And since our listeners don't have,
yeah, they can't view, see. It's not like this is visual or anything.
Over there, over hill, is a...
it's a little wood carving. And it says, in a hole in the ground, who wants to live a hobbit.
Yep. Great opening line. Do you know, fact,
sorry,
that Tolkien wrote that?
I love it. That's what happens when you just, like, you're just obsessively in love with something, and, like, you just quote it real quick, and all of a sudden you're just like, oh, it hit me.
It's even better when you do it with other people, and they get it.
You're, yeah.
Like, oh, my gosh, you're my people.
Yes.
But fun fact, Tolkien wrote that when he was supposed to be grading, because he was a professor,
mm-hmm,
Oxford, and... grading was boring, and so on a napkin next to him, he wrote that opening line, oh, in the hole in the ground, I love to hop it.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Who needs grades when you can, you know, A, have Tolkien as your professor, and B, you know, be the reason for his boredom to create Lord of the Rings.
So you should go down in history as being, yeah, like,
I bored him
world
so much with my papers and tests and quizzes that he created all of this.
I am the reason, people.
You're welcome. To have that on your resume, which
I mean, I would.
I would. That would be it. I'd be like, I bored Professor Tolkien so hard that he created Lord of the Rings.
Yay me.
Give me a job.
Well, did you know that Diana Wayne Jones had Tolkien and C.S. Lewis as
AKA
professors.
Howl's Moving Castle.
Great, yes, book.
Another
totally
great
read
book.
It.
That one hit me at the right time, too.
Yeah. It's a great book. Yeah. It was so funny and quirky. And Howl is just... You should read it.
Howl. I mean, also the film.
And the film is
the
beautiful.
The film is absolutely
pretty amazing.
Like, when we went and saw it the other day, like... like, it's such a weird thing to admit, but anytime I watch Hayao Miyazaki movies, like, there will just be like a scene that's just so pretty that I get little hot eyes where my eyeballs start sweating, and I'm just like, this is so beautiful, and I just start crying, and I'm like, this, nothing sad, nothing is happening, it's just so pretty, and I'm like, oh, Hayao Miyazaki, please draw my life. Make it pretty.
I'm totally there with you. It's just something about something just being pretty.
Right.
You know?
Oh. Arwen's having a moment.
Arwen's my my husky, by the way. Talking about Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
I did name my dog.
Way to ring us back in. Thank you, Arwen.
Arwen.
Thank you, Arwen, for ringing us back in. Ringing. Uh-huh. Ring.
Rings. Ring. Ringing.
Ring.
Yeah.
Ring.
Ring. Raining. Ring.
I'm really trying here.
You're trying. You're trying. You know, we'll get there. So do you have a Lord of the Rings book story?
Which one? I mean,
my whole life.
Well, at least once I discovered it. Yeah.
Something about the Silmarillion, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I guess I'm just kidding. I should tell you. Anyway. Yeah. So, fun fact. With having this obsession of mine, I had never been to, I lived in Georgia for a while, but I had never went across the state to Savannah. And everybody that I know had been to Savannah was like, oh my gosh, you have to go. It's so pretty. This and that. And you can drink on the streets. And I'm like, cool. Okay. So I finally get my opportunity to go. And it's with, who's now my husband. We go, and I think this is the trip where every single night we went to Leopold's and got ice cream.
Sounds like a great trip.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And Leopold's, which is also in the end part of the second SpongeBob movie. Little plug right there. Also.
What, SpongeBob?
Out of water. SpongeBob out of water. You will see Leopold's fly by the screen as Patrick Starr is getting pelted with ice cream.
Hey.
Yep.
I'm halted with something. Yes. Ice cream's the way to go.
So, while in Savannah, of course, he's off doing things because it was a school trip for him. It was a fun trip for me. So he's off doing stuff. And I'm like, cool, this is time for me to roam. And I found the Book Lady bookstore, which was just kind of like, I think, if I remember correctly, I think I walked past it the first time, because I didn't, like, there's nothing like, this is a bookstore, like, other than, there is a sign, but, like, it's not, like, aggressive. Also, it's just, like, in this first floor, of a kind of taller building, there's, like, multiple stories, but, like the first nightclub. Floor...
Tap three kind times of, and we'll let yeah. you in.
Like the first floor, you go in and, kind of just overstuffed bookstore. He's got like just piles of things. It's called the Book Lady, but there was a guy, kind of there when I was there. So I don't know if he was the owner or what, but, greeted me, just kind of looking around, going, like, I literally looked at a stack and went, dun, 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 dun. Okay, next stack, dun, dun, dun. Like, just looking at every single title, just seeing what was there. Because he had a very loose organization. It was very loosely organized. However, I saw a sign that says, fantasy in the basement. And I was like, I mean, that sounds ominous. So I'm going to go.
Walk three times and go to the basement.
Right? So obviously I go to down to the basement. Murdered. There's like a big, I say big. It wasn't big. It was a very small room. But, there's like all these books just kind of piled around. And in the center of the room was like a big table. And it just had more piles of books. Like things were just kind of spined up. So you could kind of like pilfer through them like you would like records or comic books or something like that. And I just see one sticking out a little taller because it's like almost coffee table sized. And because I see immediately that it's a Silmarillion in a hardback. And I pull it out and I'm like, hey, why is it this big? I pull it out and see that it's an illustrated edition. Pretty. And I'm like, oh. Oh, and so of course I'm like flipping through and I'm like, pretty, 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 love it, love it, love it. And you know, it's one of those bookstores where like the price isn't like on the back or anything. Like it was kind of a secondhand. And so usually when I go into secondhand, it's written like in that very first page, like they'll have the price written like in pencil or something. And it was only like $18. And I was like,
wow,
this is coming home with me. Steal. I literally took it and I held it like a baby, like people would with a baby. And I was like, this is mine. This is my own. This is my precious. like straight.
I really hope you said that to the dude.
Straight up. Well, I didn't want a weird amount. You know, I was literally the only person in the store.
I was literally
the only one in the store at the time. So like if any, you know, weird noises, he would have absolutely known that it was me. I mean, I'm pretty sure he heard me gasp when I saw that it was, you know, well, he was upstairs. So he heard me. I'm sure he heard me gasp, but not at the fact that this big, beautiful illustrated edition was only $18. So yeah, immediately brought that home with me. And so that's, yeah, but there is more kind of bookstore stuff in regards to Lord of the Rings. And that's because one of I never traveled a lot as a kid. Like we would, you know, do like day trips or something like that. But I had never been out of the country until
Middle Earth. You went to Middle Earth?
Technically, yes. Way to spoil the surprise. I
mean, sorry.
But like
it could be Narnia you went to, you know.
I mean, no, it was Middle Earth. Anyway, so my big first out of the country trip was to the northern island of New Zealand. We flew into Auckland. You get off the plane, and they have the big dwarfs statues from The Hobbit.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's great. Oh my gosh. It's, again, you know, earmuffs for little kids, just an absolute wet dream. Just so good. I loved it. So we did, you know, just like general touristy stuff, you know, lots of delicious food. Of course, I feel like, you know, anytime we've gone anywhere, there's always delicious food. Also, I eat a lot.
No.
So fair. I mean, I'm a 6-foot hobbit. You know, I've got the feet for it. I've got the appetite for it. I do like staying at home a lot, so there's that too. I'm not good at gardening, so there's that. I would probably.
Do you like mushrooms?
Sometimes. I'm one of those like.
That counts. I don't know if you can be part of the Hobbit Club.
Oh my god! Is my card getting revoked now? Because I admitted that I'm not really. I mean, I'll eat them, but like, I don't usually go out of my way for mushrooms. So.
I mean, they were literally willing to steal mushrooms in the book. So, yeah. You know.
But that's also kind of a very Merry and Pippin thing to do.
That's true.
But yeah, my big first ever trip out of the country was to New Zealand. And of course, we had to do the Hobbiton movie set. So we go by there and, you know, the tour that we were doing was the nighttime tour. So we get there and it's just stunning.
Did it look like Bilbo Baggins' party?
Oh my gosh.
I'm so jealous. It sounds so amazing.
It was like for some reason he made me drive and I was like, I don't trust myself driving because A, you also have to drive on the other side of the car on the other side of the road, which is not a normal thing for me. So I was already bad at driving. And then when I just turned in where the sign says, you know, Hobbiton movie set this way, I started getting like unnaturally excited to where I almost missed the turn to actually get into like the movie set or whatever, because I was just like, like just freaking out. And he can attest to that. So we get there like and they're like, okay, well, you know, since we're doing the nighttime one, the store shop is going to close in like 30 minutes or something. So I just ran through the store and I was like, ow, sorry. I was like,
the excitement.
Gimme. I think that's where I spent the majority of my vacation money, was in their store.
I would have too.
And then we did the tour. Like, we walked all through, you know, the little hobbit holes and everything like that. And then we had dinner in the Green Dragon.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Just dreams fulfilled.
It's on my bucket list, and I really want to go. Because, yeah. I mean, how could you not want to go?
I know. Oh, my gosh.
Where Middle-earth became alive.
It's just absolutely worth it. And we actually, when we were eating dinner, there was a guy kind of next to us. And he said that was his second or third time going. And I was just like, you just casually fly over from Britain and just like eat dinner at the Green Dragon. Like, it's just a casual thing for you. Like, what is your life?
I want to live that life. I'm just getting on this plane to go to New Zealand.
Right?
You know?
So jealous. But then we also did, we went up to the very, very top of the Northern Island, and that is where the volcano for Mount Doom is. Ooh. And we couldn't go up that because it was closed to like tourists and stuff. But we did do like a day hike, and like, and I was like, well, you know, I work retail. I run around a lot. I should be able to do this. A day hike is very much not like that. It's a lot more.
Did Mount Doom defeat you?
No, I was good up to and just past. But then, like, the whole last third of the hike, my right knee decided it didn't want to do anything anymore. So that wasn't fun. But this is gonna get real sappy and real gross, and I apologize. But when we got to the top of the, they called it the Red Crater because it's like when it kind of exploded, like everything inside, like the molten rocks and all that kind of stuff, like it kind of has a reddish color. So we got to the top of that, Mount Doom's in the background, and that's when I got proposed to, and I'm just like, ugh.
Oh my gosh, so, I did not know that. That's awesome.
I told you it was gross and sappy, and we're done with that now, so let's just move on.
Oh, no, no way. Seriously.
No, it
please
was.
Tell them what your wedding ring is.
It literally is the One Ring.
Literally the One Ring.
It literally is. And
well, it's golden glory.
Yes. I sadly don't turn invisible when it's on, but.
Working retail, that would be cool.
That would be the best, absolute best.
Excuse me, sir, do you have a book? No.
He's gone. They feel me nudge their shoulder as I run past them.
Nudge, be like pushing them out of the way.
But yeah, that's like, so yeah, like peak moment in life. But mm-hmm. I don't.
That's
it was great.
Amazing.
Yeah, and then of course at the actual wedding, when you know it got put on my hand, everybody was like, oh, "Where did you go?" And I'm like, "You guys are so stupid! I can't believe you're my friends."
These are true friends, right here.
I literally called my friends out, you know, at the wedding. I was like, "You guys are so dumb."
That's perfect.
I either heard that or I heard a lot of "my precious," you know, a lot of you know, giggly whispers when we did the ring thing. So
that's awesome.
that was a peak trip for me. But you have a peak trip Tolkien themed.
I do.
And I'm jealous of this one. I'm not gonna lie.
We need to just switch. We'll
trade trips.
And you need to go to England, to Oxford, where Tolkien spent so much of his life, which was what my trip. And we went specifically because I had to see Oxford. I had to see where Tolkien lived and worked. And I did get to see the outside of Tolkien's house. You know, in England, there's like those little tourist markets for everything. Mm-hmm. So I visited where he lived. And I went to his grave because that was on my bucket list. And I know that might sound a little morbid, but if you visit Tolkien's grave, he had a special thing inscripted on it. And it was, you know, him and his wife are buried together because mm-hmm. Tolkien is a romantic, was a romantic. And it says, you know, John Ronathan Reuel Tolkien and then Edith, and I forget what her middle name is, Tolkien. And then it's Beren and Luthien underneath. And so, you know, that was, for some reason, I got it into my teenage head that this was something I had to do, and I did it, and that was awesome. And then, you know, you go to all the other sites there because it's not just Tolkien's world,
mm-hmm.
though that's mainly what we did. Like, we had this really awesome security guard at, you know, Oxford University, and he was like, oh, this is where Tolkien ate his lunch, and this is the tree that Tolkien sat under when
and
he
you're
read.
Like, okay, this is where I'm eating lunch, and this is where I'm going to sit and read.
And this is my tree. I'm adopting this tree all the way in England. Yeah. And then, of course, visiting the Eagle and Child, which is where Tolkien, C.S. Lewis, and the rest of the Inklings met regularly to talk about their writing.
It's like the Holy Grail.
It's the Holy Grail of locations. Bars. Yes. But it's so funny because when you go in there, you're like, oh my gosh, this is the world of Tolkien, and I'm so excited, and nothing else exists. So this, and you go in there, and the person's like, what can we get you? And you're like, oh, this is the place where Tolkien's at. And they're like, yes, he sat over there with C.S. Lewis. That's the table. And there's this person wiping it down and screaming and shouting. And, you know, it's like, oh, this is every day for these people. You know, they live in this world that Tolkien lived in.
They live in the real world. We live in the world that was built around it.
It's true. It's so true. But
two different worlds.
It's two different worlds. Maybe yeah. If I had to clean up spilt beer on Tolkien's table, yeah. I'd be less than enthused as well. But, I mean, it's an amazing experience. And if you're a Tolkien fan, you should definitely go there. It's all over. You know, and it's not just Tolkien and C.S. Lewis. There were many other writers in Oxford. But that's the reason why I went. So
we're going to trade trips.
I'm going to trade trips.
Yeah. You're going to take mine. I'm going to take yours.
Yes, because I really want to go to New Zealand.
Yeah. I mean, it's just pretty. It's very pretty. Like, and, you know, like I said, like I never really had a travel bug, but, you know, he's always had a travel bug. So that's the reason that I now get to travel is because he's like, well, I want to go do this. And I'm like, cool. And I just go. So yeah, that was, cause like he knew that I had never been out of the country. So he was like, let's pick somewhere that's, you know, where you don't necessarily have to learn a language to get around, you know, like somewhere fairly easy, but not like where somebody else, you know, like everybody else would go. Like, so that's kind of how we got to New Zealand. Especially the North Island. He's like, well, you know, North Island has the Hobbiton movie set. And I was like, cool, we're going. Like, as soon as he said that, I was just like, yep,
I'm there.
That's it. That's what we're doing. Yeah, it's great. And now I have like a little bit of a travel bug because now I'm like, well, I want to go here and I want to go there, but I'm poor.
So, money. Like,
I know it sucks. And then, you know, of course, working in retail, you have to figure out time off and this and that.
Retail.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, like I said, next trip for you should be Oxford.
And next trip for you should be Auckland. Well, fly into Auckland and then drive around.
I want to.
Do all the fun stuff. Mm-hmm. And I will say, if we're pitching bookstores, there was a bookstore called The Open Book. And that's where I found The Legends of Rotorua and the Hot Lakes, which is a myths relating to the Maori culture, which is obviously very much in that area. We did a lot of fun things. Like we went to one of those dinner things that, you know, that they do it like, it's like a whole big tribe and you walk around to all the little places and they've got people telling you how this and that worked and how they cook their food. And then it's like cool. You eat with them and it was great. It's kind of touristy, but again, like you still actually get the background and where they came from, how they got there, what their lives were like and all that kind of stuff. So that was fun. So did you get to go to a fun bookstore while
we were in Oxford? No, because we were doing a longer trip. So we flew into London, drove to Oxford, and did as many of the Tolkien C.S. Lewis things as we could. It's also graduation day there, so there's a lot of students running around in their Harry Potter robes. It's kind of cool too. And Oxford's just gorgeous. I mean, yeah. Honestly, Philip Pullman. Like, there's a reason why so many authors
I kept thinking,
keep
I was
returning
like,
to Oxford. Like,
did you see Lyra running around?
Oh, wouldn't that have been cool? That would have been a perfect fantasy experience. But then we only spent a day and a half, I think, in Oxford. So we packed a lot in, and then we hit the road again, drove to the Lake District, which obviously has a ton of literary connections too. Beatrice Potter.
Nice.
And then we went on to Scotland. So.
Which I've also been to. So we have that in common.
We do have that. And that also looks like a Middle Earth to me. When you drive into Scotland and you see the mountains and the lochs, you're like, oh, wow, this could be Middle Earth too.
Yeah. Total fairy vibes. Totally. Not that there's fairies in Tolkien, but.
I mean, the elves supposedly turn into fairies. Kind of. The ones that get left over and have to like live in the cruel, cruel world.
There we go.
Become there's what we the know tie-in. As fairies. So, you know, reaching there.
Yeah. So, but no, it is. It's magical AF.
It is.
Yeah. So this has been a really fun long. I feel like we've been talking forever, and we could keep going, but at the same time, again, this is more of a this is a for us thing.
You so guys we apologize are more than to you.
We apologize, but also welcome you to, you know, like, you know, come at us via social media if you want to. I think we're now on Facebook and Instagram.
We are. Tales from Booksellers.
Yeah.
Like and subscribe.
Yeah. Do all that stuff that, you know, everything else is telling you to do now.
And read Lord of the Rings, because that's our book recommendation.
Yes.
We only took like 50 minutes to say that.
Right?
Yes.
Oh, you know, that's okay. But it's a labor of love, but it was worth it. And So, yeah, if you also get chances to travel, I highly recommend it. There are cheap ways to do it, but you also get to see and experience just great stuff.
You do. It's always good to get out of Dodge.
Also, check out Rick Steves. That guy. That guy knows his stuff. I'm not going to lie. little under the... Real quick. Do that. I apologize. I'm not very good with online stuff, but I'm trying to get the Facebook thing ready to go, and I know you're working on the Instagram thing. You're a lot better at it than I am, but follow those things. Our friend has created now our little logo. It's way better.
Cool.
It's like my OG logo was on there. So if you see this like really just terrible hand drawing with stick figures, that's me. But the really good, pretty one, that's Laurent. He's
now I'm gonna have to go post the original one so they know what we're talking about.
I'll send it to you.
Evidence.
Just steal it from the Facebook and just repost it. It's fine. My little stick figures. You have wild curly hair.
It's hilarious. It looks like the good seed, bad seed.
Oh yeah.
Awesome. Anyway.
So.
From us
to you. Have fun.
Bye-bye.